think either group identifies with a biblical stance. I don't think either group, as a biblicist, if you're a Christian and you want to stand on the word of God, I don't think either group identifies with you. I think if you take your cues from Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and these talking heads on the Republican side of the issue, you've got Mormons and Catholics that are dictating to you, and so you have to be careful just swallowing the political jargon that they spew at you. At the same time, I think that Christians ought to be involved in the matter of policy. Traditionally, going back, it was our Baptist forefathers that helped with Article 82 in Virginia, and also writing of the amendment to free speech and the establishment of religion. So I think we've played a part in that, and we ought to recognize that we should have a role in continuing to try and influence. So if that means using our positions to be able to tell people they ought to vote morally, they ought to vote biblically, they ought to vote for people who stand for. I certainly could not, regardless of party, I certainly could not put my vote towards someone that believes in the killing of the unborn, or someone that would stand on the side of creating more and more rights and condoning marriage, which the Bible does not call marriage. So I think that you have to draw some lines for yourself biblically, which is going to put you squarely on one side or the other. But at the same time, you have to make individual decisions. So Trump, I've found to be, in some ways, I'm like, man, that's a breath of fresh air. And other times I wish he'd shut up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Rich, can you be brief?
Sure. I'll try. I'm very active in politics, so I need to make sure I keep my, I have to consider this a lot because I can go. So I distinguish it salt and light. And I just read an article the other day, and I'd have to ask you, are we in a war for our culture? In a war, typically, you're less concerned about the general's sensitivities than you are about the general's victories. If you look at MacArthur, not an overly sensitive guy, right? We're concerned about victory. So in the terms of salt, I will champion those that are promoting salt. And I'll stand with just about anybody who's promoting salt. The problem is when we mingle our politics with our light.
Yeah.
That's a danger. And I will acquiesce to just about anybody in order to give them light.
You're speaking of salt as a preservative.
Yeah.
Preserving our liberties, exactly. Preserving our freedoms.
And so when I meet some, that's why I don't do a lot, even though I'm very involved politically, I don't do a lot of regurgitation of politics on social media. Because to be honest, on social media, I'm far more concerned with light than I am with salt, and salt can be given in a principled way as opposed to a political way. So, but let me give you the other side of it, if we can be a little self-critical. The Bible specifically says that one of the problems with the church there in the book of Jude is they speak evil of dignities.
Yeah, exactly.
We've forsaken the law of honor. And the example that's given there is that Michael the archangel would not bring railing accusation against the devil disputed over the body of Moses.
The Lord rebuked thee.
The Lord rebuked thee. So he didn't acquiesce from his principled position, but he did not bring railing accusation. We have been guilty of being non-biblical in our anger over politics. And we wonder why people that are on the liberal or left side are so angry. Well, they're just coming to the party a little late. And that is a problem. Yeah. That is not a biblical disposition to have anger towards somebody who is lost and has a different position. And some of the things that I have heard said about President Obama, about President Clinton, about Secretary of State Clinton, these are not biblical.
I agree.
Right? Now, John the Baptist had no problem going to Herod and said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And so taking a biblical position against someone is right. But denigrating them in order to make your position more valid is, first of all, not a good line of argumentation. Second of all, it's not biblical.
Right.
And the scripture presents our position so true and so effective that we could love the opposition and still win them.
That's right.
And that's my problem with politics. We should be involved, we should be active, but we've allowed our distinction of politics to be divided on theological lines, which we think gives us the right to have some ardent spirit towards somebody that is different. I'm just going to tell you, we would stand against the and I would all be all for reversing Roe v. Wade. But that has no standing on how I treat the young lady that walks into our church that has gone through an abortion.
Right.
I want to love her, give her grace, and introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ to her. I am not for the position of homosexuality or the denigration of marriage, but that has no standing on how I treat the man that has been captured by that sinful behavior. And I should love him and look to give him the gospel.
That's great.
And that is where I think we've made a major, we've given ourselves the justification and liberty to be unchristlike and unbiblical. And I just think it's wrong.
I agree. John, you got anything you want to add?
I would say that as far as biblical standards, there are certain politicians that I cannot walk with in any way, shape, or form. I was pleasantly surprised at the Republican platform that came forward in the last election. I was amazed that that would still be able to be placed in the public eye in America. However, I don't look at politics as the defining of who I am before God.
Right.
But thank God there is some things going on. I think also, as far as Mr. Trump is concerned, I do not look at him as a leader spiritually or morally. I do thank God that there has been a man that has been placed there. I believe God allowed that to happen. And not that everything he does is right, but several things I like about him. First of all, I like his enemies. I like who his enemies are. What a man is defined many times because of who hates you. And I appreciate the fact that he has been a warrior, not always the way that everybody thinks he ought to do it, but there is a cause, and the cause is America. There is an undertaking in this country to destroy the very foundations that allows us to be doing what we're doing today, and therefore it behooves that. Now, I have a son that's a Marine. When he left home, he was one man. When he come home, he was somebody else. And the reason why is they transformed him from a civilian to a killing machine that is willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen. I don't always like the tactics of Mr. Trump, but I can't say that he doesn't know how to fight. And we have so long dealt with liberals on liberal, their plane of liberalism and their plane of congeniality, and that we have engaged them on the rules they demanded. And the truth is, we've lost it. And unfortunately, I think that there is a place that there has to be a line drawn. Mr. Trump has done much of that. Do I think he's all right? No, I don't. His morality is appalling sometimes. And I can't approve of what he's been, what he is, or what he'll be in the future. But I will say that I thank God that God has given us somebody who's not willing to roll over and play dead in the face of the opposition. And I'm still an American that believes that our Constitution, which is being tread on daily, and our fundamental principles of liberty are still worth fighting for. And I'm glad I have a son who's willing to fight for it, and I'm glad I got a president that's willing to fight for it.